The young adult mystery novel Firekeeper's Daughter has spent 14 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. It debuted at number one shortly after the book published in March. It is quite an achievement for first-time author Angeline Bulley. She mined her heritage as a member of the Sault Ste. Marie tribe of Chippewa, or Ojibwe Indians, along with her day jobs working for the tribe as well as the U.S. Department of Education. Angeline Bulley joins us now to talk about Firekeeper's Daughter. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You first had the idea for this book when you were a senior in high school, if I read that correctly, and then you didn't start writing until you were 44 years old, and then it took 10 years after that. So why do you think it had such a hold on you?
I think that maybe I'm just a born storyteller and I didn't realize it until just that spark of an idea that stayed with me and it just wouldn't go away. And finally, those like little whispers of, what about this? What if this happened? What if that? Trying to answer that question of why would an undercover investigation need the help of an ordinary Ojibwe girl? And just kind of piecing together that answer until it grew into such a loud voice in my head, like, write this now.
Well, the title Firekeeper's Daughter refers to your heroine, Donis Fontaine, who is half Native American. Her father was Ojibwe from the Ojibwe tribe, and her mother was white. It seems as though she often feels like an outsider in both of those communities. And I'm curious, was that something you were looking to explore, that feeling of otherness, you know, being on the outside looking in?
Most definitely, Jane. You know, growing up, my father's Ojibwe, my mother's white. I'm a light-skinned Ojibwe woman. I wasn't raised on the reservation. And so there was that feeling of, I know this is who I am. Like, I always knew my identity. But as far as feeling maybe not enough or too much of something else, I think that was something that I just grew up with. And then I saw my kids go through it. And my whole career, Indian education and connecting with teens and seeing them, you know, they went through similar things. I just really felt strongly about a young adult book that would tackle these complex issues such as identity.
Well, your heroine, Donis Fontaine, is smart. And despite being an outsider, she is scientifically minded. She's athletic. She cares about her family. I mean, this is not a character that we historically have seen in stories about Native American teenagers. How important was that to you to present that kind of role model for your readers?
Oh, it was so important. I was 18 before I even read a story that had a Native main character. And, you know, in studying the hero's journey, I thought, we have heroes in our storytelling, and why not tell the hero's journey, but from the point of view of a young woman who is Ojibwe, who knows her culture, but still feels this outsiderness, and that it's only when she claims all of the aspects of her identity, does she really come into her power of, you know, being the ideal confidential informant, of being just her truest self?
Well, and it is through a couple of personal tragedies that Donis becomes that confidential informant for the FBI, who is investigating the distribution of a particularly powerful form of crystal meth involving the Ojibwe community. As I was reading, I was wondering how this story perhaps intersects with some of the realities, unfortunately, on the Native American reservations today.
Unfortunately, it does. You know, meth really exploded across the country in the early 2000s, and that's where my book is set, in 2004. And it also aligned with when Indian gaming in Michigan particularly was especially lucrative. And so just that crossed paths of meth exploding and tribes having economic prosperity that, you know, they hadn't had before, you know, that was what really drove the time and place of the story.
In the book and in real life, what was the devastation of that explosion of crystal meth, among other things?
It's still ongoing. Meth is still, you know, prevalent in rural communities, not just reservations, but, you know, rural communities, urban communities, because it's relatively easy to make. And, you know, you can have a clandestine meth lab in your car trunk. It really does lend itself to, you know, being able to be cooked next door to you, and you might not know.
You also explore the issue of sexual violence against Native American women in the book. We came across an astonishing statistic that Native American women have been murdered and sexually assaulted at rates as high as 10 times the national average. And these are crimes overwhelmingly committed by non-Native men, but they're seldom prosecuted or even reported. So you wanted to bring attention to this issue by including it in your book as well.
Definitely, because there are predators who know these things, that major crimes are prosecuted in federal courts. And so for many different reasons, someone other than the victim or the tribe are deciding whether or not to pursue charges. And unfortunately, getting justice in the federal courts, you know, it just does not happen for far too many Indigenous women and girls. And we know that there are predators who know exactly about all of the jurisdictional loopholes, and they specifically pick out victims because of that.
Even though you tackle some very difficult issues in the book, you said something in an interview with the New York Times that we just had to quote. You said, "I have a mantra. I'm writing about trauma, but I'm not writing a tragedy. I didn't want to lose sight of the funny and loving and wonderful things about my community, even though I was talking about meth and other unpleasant truths," end quote. And there's a lot of joy and love and good things in this book as well. How much of that came from your past growing up as part of the Chippewa community?
Oh, I spent a lot of time with our elders. When I worked for our tribe, one of my responsibilities was with our elder division, and I would have lunch with our elders. And just the things that they would laugh about and, you know, hearing their stories, that was just one of the best parts of being in my tribal community. And I wanted to honor that and just show how dynamic our elders are. They are not stagnant. So just what a rich addition the elders are to Donis's story and to my community and to other communities as well.
What did those elders think of your book?
They like it, and then they want to know, wait, did you base this one on me? And so that, you know, that kind of dealing with that question. So I like to say I was inspired by my community elders, but no one person informed or based a character.
But these are hard things to talk about and hard things to accept. And for many who have lived through it, devastating, right, in many ways.
Definitely. And was really important to include that. That's as much of about my community as the sad or traumatic things.
A lot of people, a lot of young adults, actually, get their idea of contemporary Native American teenagers from the very popular, the wildly popular Twilight movies. You presented something that was much more truthful here.
Thank you. That was important to me. In fact, I fictionalized my tribal community so that I could have creative license with the story, but also because I felt uncomfortable speaking on behalf of my exact tribal community and telling a story that perhaps I didn't have the authority to do so. I wasn't sure how to tell a fictional story about a real tribe. And so I did, you know, take some creative license with it.
What do you want readers to take away from the book?
Well, first, that it's not just a young adult story, that it really does have appeal for adults and, you know, certainly anyone 14 and up. And then two, what I really would want is for readers to know that we are still here, Indigenous people. We are still here living dynamic lives, and that we are not a monolith. There can be no one great Native American story. And so just hopefully whetting an appetite for people to want to read more stories about other communities and celebrating the differences between communities and certainly within the community too.
Angeline Bulley's best-selling debut novel is Firekeeper's Daughter. Angeline, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.